This is Capricorn FM Podcast.
So there we are. And of course, we remember it and celebrate it, as it were, the life of Osi Mhlaba II. Let's speak to Mr. Edgar Mshwana, who has, of course, like I said in the past, given a talk on the history and issues around the Mhlaba area, around the Mhlaba kingship, as it were, and has worked extensively in government and other areas here in the province. Mr. Mshwana, good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Thank you very much, and good evening to you and your listeners.
Good evening. So, of course, we are remembering and celebrating the life of Osi Mhlaba II, who has passed on, and I've read pretty much part of the information that is available on him, of course, his eulogy, if one would put it like that. And so he has ruled for 48 years. But perhaps the parts I've left are the parts that you would touch on around what he has done and what is known of him.
Well, some of the things have already been touched by the previous speakers, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But just to go straight to issues, you know, Osi Mhlaba was not a selfish man. Mm. He was a man who wanted progress for his people and anybody else. Mm. Because the Nkuna tribe, we accommodate everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at just in the area of education, when he was inducted as chief in 1972, there were only two secondary schools. As we bid farewell to him today, there are 28 secondary schools. Mm. You know, there were only two clinics on the health front. Today, there are countless number of clinics, and most of them are health centers, as we bid farewell to him today. If you look at factories, the factories that were there in 1972 were just a handful.
Mm.
But today, you know, other factories have come in, and factories that are known throughout the whole world are there operating as Nkuna traditional authorities land. I mean,
yeah,
you name just one or two of them. If you look at Minute Maid, Minute Maid is an international brand.
Yeah.
It's there at the Nkuna area. If you look at Pepper Dew, people don't know that Pepper Dew, it's actually whether you buy a Pepper Dew product in Cape Town or wherever in SADC, it has actually been processed in Nkoankowa.
Mm.
And I'm talking about this factory. Some other people will say these factories belong to the development corporation, but they forget that the development corporation had to get permission from the chief to build them. And the system is that it was a build, operate, and transfer. In the fullness of time, those factories will have to vest in the ownership of the tribe. And this is what Osi Mhlaba allowed, because the person who talked about him worrying about unemployment couldn't have been much more correct, because he really was worried with his people not being able to get jobs and all sorts of things.
And
but I think that is,
go on. That's fine.
Yeah, but I think the other thing that people don't understand about, say, the Bankuna people, is that who are these people? Where does this dynasty originate?
Mm.
You know, Nkuna originates from the house of Mkanjwa. In the house of Mkanjwa, Mkanjwa was the son of Ndwandwe and Numal. In that house, two main branches develop into dynasty. The one is the one that we call where Soshangane comes from. And the other one is where you have Nkuna, Wama Butana, and that's where we started. And this is where the dynasty started. And if you look at that dynasty, succession leads you up to Osi Mhlaba. I know there are other branches of the people Vakankuna who also has been like, you know, if you go to Malamulele, you've got Telana, Tukuna. If you go to Bushbuck Ridge, Hoshana, it's Tukuna. So if you look at all these people, and you look at even the people who are all over, the Nkuna people have been all over these places. If you look at a place that you know as to what today, You will be surprised if I tell you it's named after Nduwazi Wakankuna, who was staying there. Mm. The place called Manoke, in Manoke Wakamshwana, who is Wakankuna, who was staying there. So we, these people, all of these people today have lost their figurehead. We've lost our father, a man who loved us and a man whom we loved very much. I just wish that as people Vakankun, as we bid farewell to Hosi Mhlaba, then the wisdom and the love that he had for us can also influence the royal house, the royal family, and everybody else, so that we should all continue to enjoy leadership from people who actually love us, people who will also accommodate us, because Hosi Mhlaba was accommodative of everybody.
Okay.
When you hear Koshi Dikgale saying he was a father to him, it's very true, because in the Nkuna tribe, Pan-Africanism was started by Hosi Mhlaba the first. Because even when he received the missionaries who started schools, who started the hospitals, and who started churches, he couldn't rest until the day he was able to get the people of Vakamage to also accept the services of these people.
Mm.
And on that day, the words that he uttered in February of 1898, he said, Namunta akar, namsutu akar, namtonga, we all are wanting. And it's not surprising that that's how Hosi Mhlaba operated, and that's how his grandson operated. Mm. Even when you formed the first liberation movement in the continent, the ANC, Hosi Mhlaba with his delegation walked from that Mhlaba area and come and board a train in Petersburg then, because there was no other means of traveling to Mangaung, and they traveled to Mangaung. And it's not surprising again that his grandfather, and I'm talking about his grandfather because Hosi Mhlaba II is a mirror of his grandfather.
Mm.
His grandfather is one of the people who seconded a motion for the formation of the ANC.
Mm.
And it was after a rousing speech by Isaac Kikaseme.
Mm.
And when Isaac delivered that speech, there's one thing that he said which mirrored what Mhlaba had said 14 years earlier when he talked about the demon of tribalism.
Mm.
And at that stage, that's when Mhlaba seconded the motion for the formation of this organ. And those of us in political parties, and the ANC in particular, we found a home also in Hosi Mhlaba. Not that he didn't allow other parties.
Mm.
He allowed them, but he also accepted us. He was one of those chiefs who, even during the time of the homeland system, he was approachable. He would come to our meetings. He would make a contribution without being afraid of being victimized. He was a man of his own conviction.
And I realized that I could keep quiet for the next 10 minutes and let you go, and you'd still have content to talk
even for
to.
The whole day in Gamula.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time. But there's a very key issue that's still an issue today for some, that you talked about, that he fought the demon of tribalism. It's something that, as a province, still rears its ugly head once in a while here and there. But he did it in the earliest of time. And that perhaps is visionary leadership.
It is by all means. It is by all means. And it's not like he had studied, or he wasn't approaching it as an intellectual. He was approaching it as somebody who believed in this whole thing. He was living proof of what it means to be a non-tribalist.
Yeah. So, and my sense as we conclude is that we still need more time to learn of our leaders, to learn of our forebears who of course have had journeys that will impact us going forward. Mr. Mshwana, always, thank you very much for your time.
That was Capricorn FM Podcast.